This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hello, rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock and Money Podcast, episode 117. It's time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path through financial independence and your retirement. My name is Craig, your Dave Ramsey, Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com.
Hey, Craig, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing? Hey, I know you're in Florida.
Yes.
But can I point out the fact that it is in the 70s up here already
in the Washington, D.C. area? That's crazy.
I know. And the cherry blossoms are 2 weeks away. I'm excited. I'm pumped. I love this time of year.
You know, this spring is different than most springs because I think this spring is truly like the rebirth of not just like plants and flowers and trees, but really kind of the whole country kind of just opening up and blossoming once again after this really dark last year, the dark winter, you know?
Whoa, that's deep. I like
it. This is the start of the blossoming, and by summer, everything should be back in full bloom.
Yes. Hey, before we get into the questions, we're doing questions today. I want to bring up something I posted on Facebook.
Okay.
I posted something from Ramsey, which I've seen also in Consumer Reports, about the most common vehicles, brands that are owned by millionaires. So number one was Toyota. Number two is Honda, and so on. These are millionaires, Amanda. They could go out and buy anything. But what are they buying, Amanda?
They're buying the safe, reliable cars that Consumer Reports recommends, from basic American or Japanese brands.
Which probably helped them get to be a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Because they learned to buy reliable transportation. They're not buying Jaguars, Land Rovers,
Tesla.
Mercedes. Tesla was not even on the list, Amanda.
Yeah.
I think there was a list of 12 or 15. Tesla was not even on the list.
Why don't you read the list to us?
Number one, Toyota. Number two, Honda. Number three, Ford, which kind of surprised me. But it is.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, my husband drives a Ford.
Remember, I grew up in a generation where Ford was an acronym.
Yes, I remember.
Okay, I'll leave it at that. Okay, number four.
I think they have vastly improved, though. So actually, this is a really good point, is just because something wasn't reliable 20 years ago doesn't mean that that same brand doesn't have the reliability now. And that's why it's so important to get current recommendations from Consumer Reports.
Absolutely,
because, you know,
absolutely.
Manufacturers learn from their past mistakes.
Yeah. Number four, Lexus, which is Toyota. Number five, Subaru. Number six kind of surprised me a little bit, BMW.
Uh-huh.
Because they're known for electrical issues, even now. Mm-hmm. But I think some millionaires do splurge a little bit every now and then. Number seven is Acura, which is a Honda.
Mm-hmm. Hyundai. Well, it's like a luxury Honda.
Yeah, luxury. And I've owned one. Years ago, when they first came out, I owned the very first one. But it was used. Trust me, I drove it in the ground.
Yeah.
Hyundai. Lincoln, that's for old people, I think. And Buick, old people. 9 and 10 is Lincoln and Buick. I'm like, yep, that's the old retirees.
You know what, though? The new Buicks are really nice.
A lot of people say that, yeah.
Yeah. Buick is no longer the car of your grandparents, which is funny because actually my very first vehicle was a Buick.
Really?
Yeah. I bought it for, I think, $600. It was like 10 years old at the time. It was a Buick Century.
Yeah.
Like 1984. Yeah.
But the top three or
it
four.
It had like
or
velvet seats. It was, you know, plush.
Tassels. Did it have dice hanging from the mirror?
Oh, for sure. I put dice.
There you go. Yeah.
And a fuzzy steering wheel too, you know.
Pink steering wheel.
No, not pink. Black.
Oh,
black. I keep it classy, Craig.
Yeah, stay classy. Anyway, the point is, millionaires are not buying unreliable vehicles. They buy vehicles that they're not buying Teslas.
Or Land Rovers.
Land Rovers. Mm-hmm. Jaguars. It's not what you think, as we've said over and over again. So I just thought that was an interesting list. I see a lot of comments on it, and I'll look at them later, but.
Yeah, and mostly because that's a depreciating asset. Now, that's not to say that if you're a millionaire, you can't buy yourself something like that. If that's what your priority is, and that's where you want to spend your disposable income, then, you know, no one's judging you.
And the coaching rule is we don't buy new vehicles until your net worth reaches $1 million. That is and even then, the coaching worth. But even then,
it doesn't mean you have to buy a new vehicle.
No. And typically, if you make it there, what's the last thing you want to do? Buy a new vehicle.
Buy a new vehicle.
Because now you've gotten so, you don't want to lose your million. So you don't do it.
Because the moment you drive it off the lot, it's depreciated significantly.
We have some questions. Can you read number one?
Sure. So question one, very basic question, but I'm just getting started in investing. What is the difference in VT, SAX, and SPY? So those are both ticker symbols for funds. And why is one better than the other? I know VT, SAX has a 0.04 expense ratio. Does SPY have any so-called expense? I am planning to hold this for my retirement 40 years from now. Thank you. Oh, so this is a Craig question.
Here's the difference between SPY and VTSAX. Okay, let's back it up. SPY is just another one of those S&P 500 index funds, okay? Mm-hmm. What that means is that's the 500 best companies in America by market cap, mean how much money they're valued, okay? Mm-hmm. The FTSAX, on the other hand, is 3,500 companies. So it's a much broader index. So you're also including some mid caps, some small caps. So it's like a total stock market index, which is what FTSAX stands for. We prefer sticking with the 500 best instead of the 3,500 best.
Right, because the lower you get down on that list, the less their performance is as reliable.
Right. Now, of course, during COVID, small companies and mid companies that really were beat down last year are doing better. And yeah, this may go up short term, beat the S&P 500 a little bit, but we're talking about long term investing. They just said 40 years from now, stick with the S&P 500 index. It will outperform VTSAX on a long term basis.
Yeah, based on historical performance.
Thank you, lawyer. Thank you for agreeing to me. But no, based on historical data, when you home in on the 500 best instead of the 3,500 best, you do very well. Great question, actually. Question number two, Amanda.
Uh-huh.
Another car question. What's with all the car questions? Is it springtime or something? Or
I don't know.
Oh, now I know why. I just looked at the question.
Yeah.
The stimulus check was in there.
Okay.
All right. I don't have a car. With the next stimulus check, should I buy a car or pay down my debt? I only have $1,470 left of debt after that.
So this one, we probably would want to get a little bit more information from this particular individual. So if you don't have a car now, it leads me to believe, and I may be wrong, but it leads me to believe that you're able to get by without one. And so if it were me and I were able to get by without one, as difficult as it is, I would continue to make that sacrifice and pay down the debt so that I could financially free myself from those chains of debt. If that's not the right assumption and you actually need a car and you just, for whatever reason, had a car, but it's no longer operational and it's just a timing issue that it like just went kaput and now you need one to replace it immediately, then I would look for one of these, you know, hoopty cars that will get you from point A to point B. Spend as little as you can on something that will be reliable or is, you know, projected to be reliable based on consumer reports, and then put the rest towards your debt. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I agree. If you didn't have a car before, you think you can get by another 3 or 6 months after that? Probably.
Yeah.
There's still options like Uber and stuff like that that does not have the cost of a vehicle. Well,
and especially right now, I mean, depending on what this person's employment situation is, but right now, so many jobs are able to perform work from home. And a lot of people, including myself, well, always myself, but a lot of people have cars sitting in their driveways that rarely get used. So, depending on your personal situation, if you have two cars if you normally have two cars, but now you're able to go down to a one car household for the rare times that your family needs to leave or go somewhere, then I would continue to not have that automobile expense, because it's not just the car, it's insurance, it's gas, it's, you know, other maintenance costs that go along with having a car, that if you don't absolutely need it, I would continue to work and chip away at freeing myself from the chains of debt.
Amanda, I've put 500 miles on my car in the last year.
Wow.
I hate my car right now. I feel like I'm wasting money with that thing, even though it's paid for.
Yeah.
That thing's sitting there.
Yeah.
And now here's my new issue.
You're still paying insurance on it every month.
Oh, absolutely. Of course I am. And here's the other thing. I have a full tank of gas in there. It's been in there for 5 months. The limit is 6 months.
You need to take a road trip, Craig.
People said, well, you need to take a mechanic. They can drain it. I'm like, I'm not paying that. I'd rather drive to Philadelphia and back and go get me a cheesesteak and drive back.
Yeah.
Because that's literally, we were looking for the map. How far is 150 miles from here? Because I got to go there and back.
Is that all you get to a tank is 150 miles?
No, I get like 400 and some miles on a tank.
Oh, okay.
It's a Civic.
Yeah.
Honda. Okay. I guess I'm going to do a day trip to get a cheesesteak or Hershey, Pennsylvania. Get some jelly beans or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, chocolate. So, all right, here we go. Number three. Mm-hmm. Need help, Amanda.
Okay.
I have my eye on a house. Mm-hmm. The price had dropped a lot due to a high HOA fee of $725 a month. Wow. But the house is so cheap. Should we use the word cheap in a question?
This is how they asked it. So
okay. But the house is so cheap, Amanda, because it's been on the market for 6 months due to a high HOA fee. I could get a 10-year mortgage and pay it off in 7 years, but I'll be stuck with that high HOA fee. Is the house worth buying, Amanda?
Well, so this is one of those, it depends, right? What comes along with that HOA fee? So what value are you getting from that HOA fee? That's what you need to look at. So I know really high HOA fees are almost commonplace. Like that sounds exactly like a condo fee in like a ski town, like Breckenridge, which I love, or, you know, Park City, or even here in Tampa, condo fees that have like a doorman and the building takes care of everything. You know, you can be gone and not have to worry about things.
Right.
Takes care of lawn maintenance, parking, has a pool, has a gym, you know, all these other things that you don't have to worry about. Maybe that makes sense. Because, you know, you have to factor in all of those fees that you would be paying, if you had your own pool on site. Like I have my own pool here. Of course, it doesn't cost me $725 a month. But if you have all of those benefits, you know, list them out. Figure out what is the value of that versus you having a place that doesn't have an HOA fee and you taking care of yourself. The other thing I would factor in is your age. So if once I hit a certain age and I want to move into like a 55 plus community, it might very well be worth it for me to pay that each month and not have to take care of anything, especially as, you know, your body deteriorates.
We have one of those right next to me in my neighborhood. There's a section 55 and over. Their fee is different than mine.
Yeah.
And everything outside the house is done for them. Mowing the lawn, everything.
Yeah.
They only take care of the inside.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's the thing you need to look at is what is included in the HOA fee. That does seem high for most places.
That's really high.
Like the rental homes that I own in Georgia, I think are, I don't know, maybe $200 a year total for HOA. Yeah, so it's between $200 and $300 a year is what I normally look at in terms of HOA fees for homes that I buy. That's like the maximum I would pay.
Yeah.
Unless it's in like a high vacation area and I were planning to not live there full time, then it might be worth it for me to have someone else take care of it when I'm not there. But this sounds like it's a full-time residence for this person. It's a personal call. I you're going to have to weigh the pluses and minuses on what that value is to you. Just know that even once you pay off the home, you're still going to have that payment every year. And it can be increased at the whim of the HOA board.
Exactly.
Very rarely do they ever reduce fees.
What? Really? You mean like taxes?
Yeah.
Hey, here's one thing that happened to me with Myrtle Beach. I was going to buy a condo in Myrtle Beach. I wanted to live on the beach. Mm-hmm. At least have a place there and then rent it out and do that whole thing. The condo fees are this or higher.
Yeah.
And
that's actually, I mean, this is very much ballpark for condo fees.
Here's the other thing that's happened to some of my firefighter friends who've done this where I didn't do it and they did. Every now and then they do a special assessment.
Yeah. If the roof needs to be replaced
That was it. $10,000 in addition to that. And if you don't pay it, they're going to go after you.
Yeah, they put a lien against your property.
Right,
yeah.
Of $10,000 each person. So it doesn't stop with just your monthly. You have to check everything. And talk. Yeah. I would talk to other people, mm-hmm. other neighbors. What has been the history last 10 years? People that have been there a while.
I'm shocked that any house has been on the market for 6 months right now.
Okay, I thought about that. Because around here, you can't keep a house on the market for a day or two.
Right. No, that's pretty much everywhere.
Why is it on there for 6 months?
So I would be wary that to me, it sounds like there's more than just the HOA fee keeping it on the market.
Yeah. Why is it so cheap? I don't think it's just the HOA fee. There's mm-hmm. something else going on here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I do like the fact that this person is not planning to get a 30-year mortgage, that at most they would get 10 years and plan to pay it off even sooner than that. That part I really like, and that Love should it. Be... something that you continue to look at.
Really like that. All right. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to think about. Let us know what happens. I'm curious. My HOA fee is about $37 a month, but I get trash pickup, recyclables. I mean, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's great because I don't live in an HOA restricted area right now. And, you know, I pay, I think, more than that each month for my own trash pickup.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. So, you know, but they put out for contracts, stuff like that, but we don't have a pool.
Yeah.
The 55 and over people, they're the ones with the pool. We don't have one. They get one, but they're paying a lot more too.
You need to make friends with them and then just, you know.
Well, I'm over 55. Let me go in there.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. We'll be back right after this. We got three more questions. Great ones. This is a great episode. You're listening to Rockin' Money.
Rock stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Back to Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. And you can always check us out at rockonthemoney.com for all of our episodes. We got tons of them on there, Amanda. We're up to episode 117. You believe that?
That's shocking.
Shocking you're still here is what the, you know, my, it's a year and a half. You believe that?
That's crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. We got to figure out how we can span this even further if we're going to go down this road. You know what I mean? Like, get you on video camera.
Then I'd actually have to like do more than just roll out of bed and roll up to my microphone.
That's true. I'll just put the old CNBC frozen image of your beautiful face on there. We'll just do that.
Yeah. And we'll just update my photo every few
months. There you go. All right. Hey, we got three more questions.
Okay.
I love these questions. They're getting more and more technical. Another vehicle question.
Okay.
What is the best way to maintain the value of your vehicle? Do you regularly save and trade in, sell to stay close to the value range, or do you ride it until it dies and squeeze all the value out of it that you can?
I like to ride it till it dies. I know.
Well, I'm kind of in that camp. I'm terrible.
To the death.
I mean, earlier, was it this episode or last episode, I talked about an Acura Legend that I had. It only came in one color. Yeah, so I bought this thing used, right? Mm-hmm. I love that car so much. I drove it into the ground. I went to a mechanic to get some stuff fixed, and the guy literally put his arm around me and said, son, it's time to let it go. So, because I just hate spending money like that as I was trying to build wealth.
Right.
You know, and pay off debt. I just drove these things on the ground.
Well, but I think to answer the first part of the question, the best way to maintain the value in your vehicles is to maintain your vehicles.
Oh, and that's what I did to be able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So continue to get regular servicing before your car breaks down, you know, before the engine light comes on. That's something I didn't know was something you do when I first had cars and was using cars because, you know, when you grow up in a small rural area, that's just not the norm, right?
No, no, it's not.
People just don't bring their vehicles in for regular maintenance. It's just not how I grew up. It's not how my grandparents acted. It's not how my parents acted, you know, but they also were very handy and took care of their own vehicles, you know.
Well, let's be honest. I think if you live in a more populated area, you have access to the quick in and out oil changes. I mean, but if you live in rural areas, they do not have Jiffy Lube or all these other things as much. Yeah. So, for us, we just drive up and 20 minutes later, we're done.
Right.
And they can do other things while you're there. So,
like, I always thought it was a waste to pay a place to change your oil because everyone I knew how to change their own oil, you know, like, and I was even involved in some of that, you know, I was there laying under the car while someone else did the work.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, I've done all that too.
With a flashlight or something.
Yeah.
My history with cars is not quite as clean as yours. You know, I told you I bought my first Buick Century when I was 16 and it didn't last very long because it was super old and it was only $600, you know, so there was that, you know. I've always loved cars, so I like to keep my eyes on things. This is probably the first time I've held a car for so long. And I'm at the point now where I have matured enough. And I think that that's part of it, right? Like you mature and realize, hey, this isn't super wise to continue to trade in or get new cars every few years. But I will probably keep this one as long as possible just because there's nothing wrong with it.
It's a nice car, by the way. I mean, that SUV is nice. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not flashy, but
it's great.
Yeah, it's great. And yeah, it's very practical. And other cars, though, mine just didn't last as long as yours. So I ended up having to get a replacement vehicle. I'm not going to say new because none of them were new, but a replacement vehicle because something had gone wrong with the vehicle and just the value, the cost to repair it or bring it back to operational was more than what the value of the car
was.
There
you go. Yep.
So that's kind of the balancing act there is ride it until something happens or, you know, the repair costs are going to exceed the value of the car. And I don't trade in. I learned my lesson there is, you know, trade in values are terrible, right?
That's where they make their money. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to give you a lot of money on trade in. You're much better off doing a private sale or even I've done where you just bring your car and sell it to like CarMax. There's no hassle involved, so you don't have to sit and work on your own personal ads for your car and meeting with people in shady parking lots, you know. So you can do the sell. You get a check in hand right away, and it's much higher than what your trade-in would be.
There you go. Next question, savvy savings.
Okay.
I'm looking to save money on groceries. What are your go-to money saving tricks? Any extreme couponing advice or resources would be great, Ms. Savvy Savings.
Okay, so I did not prepare for this question, so you're just going to get what I come up with off the top
of
my head.
That's fine.
But we do have an entire Savvy Savings segment in our archives that's dedicated to saving on groceries.
Yep.
So certainly go take a look at that if you're the individual asking this question or you're just interested in general. So the big one, first of all, extreme couponing. There's this show on TLC that's about extreme couponing, and it's just outrageous, right? Like they have these hordes of crap in their garage,
in their houses, and
they call it their stockpile, right?
Yeah, okay,
and, it's just, to me, it's crazy. I'm not going to buy anything that I don't have use for or can't use in the next year, right? And there's so much time and energy put into finding coupons, right? Now, if I see it, so everyone gets these free flyers in their mailbox or in their driveway, right? So I look through them, and if I see coupons for things that I would ordinarily buy anyway, of course I use those. But really where you're going to save the most money on your groceries is in menu planning. So the reason I say that is because you lose money when you don't have a plan on what you're going to make for the week. And you have to try and figure it out meal by meal. And you look in your cupboards or you look in your refrigerator, and then you realize, well, I have this, but in order to make the full meal, I need that. And now I have to run to the grocery store and get that, right?
Right.
So you're making another trip to the store. And when you're in the store, you see all these other things because you went in somewhat hungry, and you end up impulse buying a bunch of other things that go along with that.
Right.
So that's one way you lose money on groceries. The meal planning also, like my sister is an expert on figuring out a meal plan for the week that uses the same protein that she can buy in bulk, whatever's on sale that week. So if chicken's on sale, she buys that in bulk, and all the meals for the week are revolve around chicken, right?
Oh, wow.
Or if ground beef's on sale this week, then guess what? This meal's plan is going to revolve around ground beef, right? And then you're able to divvy it up and use it for each of the meals. And, you know, you have a pantry with general spices. So the meal planning is really key because you're going to go into the store with a list. You're going to be able to buy things that are on sale in bulk and keep them. And you know what? If you don't use it all in 1 week, you can usually freeze some of these meats for a short period of time. And the other thing is to look at where you're shopping. So
that's my big one.
That is the big one. So I know Publix here in Florida is super fun to go to because they have all these cool, like prepared meals and all that. And it's super easy. And they have all these bins that are like buy one, get one free. But if you stop and take a moment to look at the cost of buying one, I have found that the cost of one item compared to the exact same item at Walmart, Walmart's price is usually less than half of the cost of one item at Publix. So when you're getting the buy one, get one free, you're still paying more for two items there than you would pay for the two items over at Walmart. So I like Walmart for groceries because that's what's close to me in the discount arena for food. If you have an Aldi near you, that is an excellent place to shop that you can get really great savings on food there. A lot of the items they offer are generic brand or Aldi brand, which are just purely packaging of your favorite things.
With barcodes on every side. I love it.
I mean, you have to bring your own grocery bags or you have to pay for the bags there.
Right.
You have to bring a quarter if you want to use a shopping cart.
But you get the quarter back.
You get the quarter back. When you put the grocery cart back. So Aldi is a great choice. I know, Craig, you've mentioned that there's an Aldi-like store up by you.
Lidl is the brand new one coming in the United States. It's very similar to Aldi, but even less expensive.
Yeah. So the other tips are use what you have. So hopefully you're not throwing away a lot of groceries at the end of the week, you know, because they've spoiled. I think a lot of people are guilty of buying fruits or vegetables and then letting them sit in their crisper drawer and never eating them, right?
I've done that.
So use what you have because otherwise you're just throwing your money away when you throw those items away. And the other thing, when you are shopping, every price tag label on the shelves has down on the very bottom in smaller print, the cost per unit or cost per like ounce. And so you can use that without having to do math in your head of what is the actual cost for what I'm getting. So there might be like, you know, a box of cereal is $4 and it's like this size box, maybe 40 right. ounces or whatever. And then the same exact brand right next to it is a smaller box, and it's $3 for however many ounces. So instead of having to do math in your head or with your calculator that you brought with you, you can look at the pricing label on the shelf, and it'll actually tell you the actual cost per ounce.
Mm-hmm. Last question.
Okay.
I have my emergency fund. I have my 6 months of living expenses. Good job. Now what I'm lacking is the willpower to stop buying stuff I don't need. You know what? I like that they're being honest, by the way. I have a problem, an addiction to shopping. It's cash, but not credit card. But nonetheless, I could be doing so much more with my money I spend on meaningless stuff.
Okay. Well, so I love this question. I love this person's self-awareness.
Yeah, exactly.
First of all, congratulations on getting out of debt and getting your fully funded emergency fund in order. So it's this actually, to me, this is a simple solution available to you. So I'm assuming that you have a budget that you've put together, and I commend you for only doing your shopping with cash, because that's a much more controlled way of doing it, and really nice job not putting it on credit cards. The easy fix, give yourself less cash.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, so you are allowed to spend money on meaningless stuff, and you should be able to do that guilt-free. You just need to contain it. So if you are feeling guilt or bad about making those purchases, it just means that you've allocated too much of your budget to that, and right. you need to reduce that.
Yep.
So find the magic number that you are comfortable basically throwing away each month, and, you know, own it. Just be happy with it, right? My husband and I each give ourselves money each paycheck that we can spend on anything, and I don't keep track of where it goes. I just don't. And I just know that that's an expense line in my budget, and it doesn't matter where it goes, and I'm going to be guilt-free about where it goes. You just need to find out what that number is for you that you're okay having in your budget as a line item of, this is my money, and that's an expense.
I should post in the group the recommended percentages of a typical budget.
Yeah, like you should.
This much of your total take-home pay for a month. Take-home.
Mm-hmm.
10% this, 5% this. And if you just do that, that's where you find the leaks that you keep talking about.
Yeah.
And then pop your numbers in there. What percentage are you at? Typically, like you said, that is where you're going to find the problems.
Yep.
So, but like you said, if you're allowed 10% for food and you're buying meaningless pineapple and ham pizza.
Well, come on.
Is actually pretty awesome.
Pineapple and ham pizza is great. Yeah.
I love, you know, I bought one last week. It was freaking amazing. But
yeah,
that's part of your food. So.
Or if you love buying the newest nail polish color and you're feeling guilty about it, just don't. If that's where you want to spend your money on nail polish, go for it if that's the money you've allocated for that.
Right. And one way to have less money is if you have a 401k at work, make sure you're putting all your money in there, because you're not bringing home that money now. Now it is going into baby step four, which is where you're at. And that money is actually going to investing instead of going into nail polish or pineapple pizza.
Yeah, but the easiest solution is just give yourself less cash.
There you go.
Because you're already so close. You've already conquered the fact that you shouldn't be putting on a credit card. You should be paying cash for these splurges. You've got that nailed. So you've got half the willpower. That's a big step.
There you go. Awesome. Thank you very much, Amanda. That was a great episode. We covered a lot, actually. I think that's what I like about the questions. Mm-hmm. We hit on a lot of things. And that was a good one. All right, Amanda, thank you very much. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda, and you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.